Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
There's a warning about if you hear his voice, you don't harden your heart. That was the danger for some of these people. They would hear it, but it never really got the control of their hearts and their minds. They were never fully on board with God's reason for this world existing, which has to do entirely with getting a people ready for that, for another world. Praise God. So anyway, he warns them about that. He warns them about against being like the Israelites who were glad to leave Egypt. They were glad to see Pharaoh's armies drown, but all they had to do was experience a little bit of trouble, and the real condition of their heart came out. They stopped short because their hearts were not free. May God grant everyone here the freedom of heart to serve him, where there is nothing here that has it a hold in our hearts. We can let it all go. If we were to die this moment, we'd be saying, praise God. There's nothing here worth holding on to. Whatever he gives us or whatever we experience, we use it for his glory. But it's always under his control. Always acknowledging him in every way and trusting in him. Trust and obey. Didn't we sing that this morning? So much of what we sang was right on point. Okay, so there's the warning about stopping short. There's the awesome promise of a one that we can go to, the throne of grace. But I want to come down to something that we have pointed out in the past. And the writer here points out the fact that the priests that served the people in the Old Testament were people just like the people they served. And part of the reason for that is that they could understand what the people were going through. It wasn't like they were up here and perfect and what's the matter with you? I get it. I know you need help. And the point is, we've got someone like that too. We don't ever need to just think that he's standing up there saying, what's the matter with you? He knows what's the matter. We even need a Savior. And he longs to come to our rescue and to our help. But what a picture it is in verse 7 and following. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. You think maybe we need to pray? The Son of God was brought down to this world in human form to a place where he needed help to do what he did. He had to pray. Peter knew that. Somehow he didn't get the lesson when Jesus even told him specifically, pray, watch and pray. You're not ready for what's coming. Jesus understood, I need help. I have deliberately come into a place of need. And I need the Father. I need his help. And I'm going to cry out to him. Petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Now again, he never sinned. But boy, if he'd ever given in, he needed the Father's help every step of the way. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He was somebody who, bottom line, they were submit. Lord, I want you. I need your help. I want to serve you. I want to do what is right. I'm not asking selfish prayers for you just bless me and make me feel good. I want to do your will, and it's not in me to do it. He was heard. And this is an amazing statement. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. There you have it again. Once made perfect. This is the thing that just grabbed my attention, one of them. What's the purpose of this world? It's to prepare a family for another world. Okay, central to that purpose was the Son of God, the one who created this world in the first place and rules over it. But in order for him to be fully prepared for the Father's eternal purpose, he had to come down here in human form, experience what we experience, experience our weakness and our need, and live that out. And only that was going to make him completely ready for all that the Father has purposed. He's the heir, but he wasn't ready for it. Think about that. He created everything, but he wasn't really ready for this. You think maybe we need a little bit of getting ready? Yeah. What an amazing Savior we have who was willing to come down here and live out a human life and look to his Father and say, Lord, I know you have a purpose. This isn't going to be easy. I'm going to have times when I'm going to have you crying out. How about not my will, but yours be done? How about sweating great drops of blood there in the garden as he prayed and faced the cross? But yet there was such a vision, such a confidence in what God had promised was coming, that he was able to stand there in the face of real pressure. So it talks about learning obedience. You know, you think he was just an obedient son there in heaven. Well, there was no conflict. Big deal. There was nothing hindering him from doing it. He was in absolutely perfect agreement with the Father. Sure, Father, tell me what to do. You want a galaxy over there? Done. But now, in order to really learn what obedience meant, he had to get out of the classroom and out into the real world and discover that what God wanted was an obedience that was exercised in the face of trial and opposition and everything in the world against it, including what was the life that he'd been born with. The life of this body is against the will of God. It's against the purposes of God. The spirit that is in the world is against everything that God had created this world for. And so it becomes a context, a place where God is preparing his sons. But we have to face the real challenges and the real battles of life and choose to follow him. That's central to our being ready. And Jesus himself wasn't ready for all that the Father had planned until he himself went through the process of having to say, not my will but yours be done. Wow. Does that set something up for us? You got something we maybe can learn from that? Yeah. May God help us. Now, many times we have heard it rightly said that Jesus is our example. And I wonder how many times somewhere on the inside there's a little voice that says, yeah, right. The Son of God, of course he could do it. I mean, you know, big deal. He did all those things. He coming down here is no big deal. So we're supposed to imitate him. The lessons of how he did what he did and how God worked in him have a great deal, have everything to do with what he's doing in us, because we're part of the same family. He's the elder brother. He's the forerunner. But how did he do all this? How did this play out? For the way that he was made ready for the Father's ultimate purpose for this world, the meaning of everything. Well, in the first place, the Son understood what his Father's purpose was. He didn't live with any illusion that, well, maybe my purpose is to do something in here. Maybe it's to conquer those bad people over there. Maybe it's to, you know, none of that. Every bit of his being was tuned in to the Father's purpose. He understood why he was here, and he was in a total agreement with that. He said, as we've often quoted, I'm not here to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And so there was an understanding, but along with that understanding, there was a willingness. He uses the word submission here, doesn't it? Where I'm not here to do what I think I want. I'm not here to follow earthly impulses. I'm not here to agree with the world about this and that and the other thing. I'm here to do one thing. God has a reason that this world even exists, and that's the reason that defines my thinking, my being, what I do and what I don't do. Does that make sense? See, Jesus said, remember, take my yoke, learn from me. For I'm meek and humble in spirit, and you'll find rest for your souls. Well, by God's grace, we need to learn. We need to see him not just as a teacher of information that's supposed to guide our lives, but as the actual ultimate example of how God works to get his people ready for that world to come. His son was totally on board with his father's plan, his father's will. That's what he lived for. That defined everything. Does that define your life? Or is it all about what I plan, what I want, what I think I want to do? My God, we need, God may have all kinds of things he wants you to do, but I would urge you, for all that's in me, the Father would urge you, lay everything on the altar and say, Lord, not what I will, but what you want. If you want me to go into business and make $1 million, and it can actually serve the purposes of your kingdom, fine. If you want me to be poor and look to you for my daily bread, praise God. It has nothing to do with the values of this world. I want you and I want you alone. I understand this thing, this understanding of what the world even exists for is what defines my whole thinking and my way of life, my approach to life. God help us. And so he was submitted, wasn't he? There was a submission of the Father, of the Son to his Father's will at every point, all the way to the cross, where he laid down and he renounced the world. You think of others in Scripture who are held up as examples. Abraham. God allowed him to experience a lot of things and even become rich. But that wasn't what defined his life. It was a confidence in a God who had spoken. He believed him. And all of, and whatever that God said he did, and he believed it. Why? Because he was looking for a city, we're told in Hebrews 11, whose builder and maker is God, a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That defined everything. He didn't say, well, let me think about how I'm going to do this. Let me think about what I want here. No, it's all about what he wants. Do you believe God has your best interest at heart? Has he made you because he loves you and wants you to know him and wants you to experience the amazing things that he has planned? Praise God. I know that this world is full of people who are going to perish. But Scripture tells us God does not rejoice. There's no rejoicing in God's heart over sinners that perish.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.